Privilege to be here with you today. Win 2013. Love you, Brother Donald. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Rich. This great church. Each of youth pastors, thank you so much for your time. How many of you drove over an hour to be here today? Over an hour and a half? You guys up here, good, thank you. I really appreciate it. See, in New England, you guys are blessed here to live in the Bible Belt here in Michigan. In New England, the closest youth rally we have to drive to is about an hour and 20 minutes away from our church. And we drive everywhere, all over New England. How many of you ever been to New England? Amen. Amen. The great conservative region of our country. Please help us. It's so good to be here with you. Mark chapter 6. Would you please stay with me as we read God's Word? Mark chapter 6. Verse number 1, the Bible says, And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Are they not offended at him? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon them, upon a few sick folk, and healed them. We're going to pray, but I ask quickly, if you would just close your eyes right before we pray. Friend, the Bible teaches about a parable about the sower. How many of you, raise your hands, you know about the parable of the sower and the seed? Some of you know the parable about the sower and the seed? It teaches about a man who sowed a seed in different types of ground. And the comparison there is that the Bible is that seed that is sown. It's God's Word. But the ground that it falls upon is completely different. I don't know your heart today. I don't know what you went through this week. I don't know what struggles you might have. But friend, as much as God wants to do today, God will do as much today as you will allow Him to. If you can open your heart to that, if you can open your heart to whatever God has, ask God to speak to you. He will. I promise you, He will. But it's all up to you. It's not up to the preacher. I'm preaching the right Bible. I'm preaching God's Word today. But it's up to you if you're going to get what God wants you to get today. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, I pray that you will work with us today, Father. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit. Lord, help me to get out of your way this morning. I pray you work in a mighty way. Lord, we need your help. Father, thank you for these teens. Thank you for each of the pastors that drove them here and all the workers, all the work that went into this day. Lord, this is the most important time, and I know the devil's going to fight. Lord, I pray you'll keep us free from distractions. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll have freedom in this room. Lord, give me power. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Empty me of self. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have found, not to offend anybody here today, but I have found that teenagers are not that intelligent. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. I know that you think that you are so smart, but I've found, at least I think, you can get teens to do just about anything. You know, we had the game earlier. I know some of the games we're going to be playing later, and I promise you, I pray for each one of you that we'll be playing any of those games. In our youth group, I have seen my teens do some ridiculous things. I've read that if you freeze mayonnaise, it has the same consistency as ice cream. So we froze some mayonnaise and then had some ice cream and had a contest. And Brother Petronico, I had a teen girl eat more of the mayonnaise than the borate of the ice cream in just a couple seconds. And that was disgusting. We played another game. How many of you have ever heard of Limburger cheese? Have you heard of Limburger cheese? How many of you ever smelled it? It smells like a dumpster. It really does, except it's in a block of cheese. And I brought that into my youth group. Not only did they smell it, but they ate it. For like a candy bar or something. It was ridiculous. I did something else where I had a live cricket contest. And I had them put it in their mouth and to see how far they could spit the cricket across the room. And we had crickets in our church for the next couple weeks. But anyway. Last year, how many of you were here last year? Some of you, good. Good. How many of you, this is your very first time? How many of you didn't raise your hand? All right, okay. Last year, do you remember the game we played where Brother Donald had two cans of... Do you say pop or soda here? pop? Hey, man, you say pop. Good. Two cans of pop, and he put a sock over the pop. Remember this game? And he made you drink the soda out of the pop. And then he made him switch, and he was drinking the soda out of the other person's pop. That was disgusting. But teens will do that. Every week in my youth group, we play a game. And every week, I say, we're going to have a game this week. Who wants to play? Like, half the people raise their hands. I don't know why, but you can talk a teen into doing just about anything. We played another game. This was disgusting, called Mother Bird. And I had two groups of brothers. I had the younger brother get on his knees. The oldest brother had to take gummy worms from his mouth and feed them to his other brother, only using his mouth. We loaded it with chocolate syrup. And if you could have been there, he was literally spitting it into his brother's mouth. Just spitting chocolate syrup. And I was crying. I was in tears. One of my teens looked up at me and said, "What is wrong with you?" I don't know if you ever had that, Brother Ben, but it was great. One of the games we just played a couple weeks ago, I made a couple teens come up and peel a banana with their toes. Take off their shoes and socks, peel a banana with their toes. And I made sure to get one of the teen boys that was stinky, that smelled, and his feet were ripe. He peeled the banana with his toes, and there was lint mixed in with the banana. He mixed it up, and I said, "I will give $20 to the person who eats this banana." And I had like five people volunteer to do it, and finally the one girl ate it. I had to stick my head out the window. It was so disgusting. There was all kind of goodies in there for him. But I found that you can talk a teen into doing just about anything. You have a contest like this, we'll do contests later, and many of you would probably be up for doing just about anything. You really don't care. You'll try it. Unfortunately, there's so many things that we see that teens can be easily talked into. Now, what we've heard is some, you know, some games and things like that, but there's other things like getting a tattoo. It doesn't take a whole lot. Someone could talk you into doing that. Or how about joining a gang? Or how about stealing something? Or maybe some kind of vandalism. How about cheating on a test? How much would it take to get you to cheat? We had I preached on cheating in our youth group a few months ago, and several teens admitted this is something they struggled with. Me, I don't know why. I never would have thought of that. I was too scared of getting caught. For some of you, so simple it can get talked into doing something like that. Unfortunately, there's some serious things, like music, like swearing, like cutting, things that are real. How about drinking? I found some interesting statistics about drinking, that in the 8th grade, 50% have tried alcohol and 25% have been drunk. In 10th grade, 70% have tried alcohol and almost 50% have been drunk. And by 12th grade, 80% have tried alcohol and 60% have been drunk. 80%. So count 10 people, 8 out of those 10, according to statistics, have had alcohol. Smoking, 12th graders, 17% of 12th graders smoke. I thought smoking wasn't as popular anymore, but that means that one, almost two people out of every 10 are smoking. 2 years ago in 2011, 22.5 million teens used drugs in a one month period. And last year, 3 million people tried drugs for the first time, just last year. 6.5% of 8th graders, 70% of 10th graders, and 36% of 12th graders use marijuana. Marijuana is a very real thing. And unfortunately, in our country, we had a vote to legalize it. It didn't pass in Massachusetts, but I know many states has. But most of you know where to get marijuana. And unfortunately, too many people, you can be talked into it pretty simply. You don't need to hear much about it, but you'll just try it. Teen pregnancy, about 820,000 teens become pregnant every year. 34% of teens have at least one pregnancy before the age of 20. That means one of three teens in our high schools pregnant before the age of 20. And unfortunately, all that you're hearing is how to do things safely and all these things. You're not. They just need to cut to the chase and say that it's wrong. It's a sin. It's against what God teaches. You're supposed to be pure and save yourself. And we'll talk about that later, but these are some real things. You can be talked into just about anything. How about pornography? I read a study that 9 out of 10 teen boys, by the time they graduate, have either accidentally or intentionally looked at pornography. And the largest age group that looks at it all is between 12 and 17. That's most of you. Abortion. 24 out of 1,000 teens get abortion. And there's over 200 abortions every year. The list could go on and on. I don't know in this area. I know it's a big battle in our country, but homosexuality is huge. In our country, Massachusetts, it is, in my part of the state, it is huge. I mean, constant pushing and pushing. Not just saying that we need to tolerate people, but they're promoting it in the high schools, forcing people to go to these activities. And unfortunately, many of you, you can get talked into just about anything. If I were to make up some home remedy about something, you can probably do it. I actually looked up a couple funny home remedies. This one says, if you're choking on an ice cube, pour a cup of boiling water down your throat. Wouldn't try that. If you place a mouse trap on your alarm clock, it'll prevent you from rolling over again and going back to sleep when you hit your snooze button. In old England, they believed that if you wrap dirty socks around your throat, that your throat would heal. That it would heal you if you were sick. Another English treatment. I think they were onto something here. Another English treatment was to wrap bacon around your throat before your bedtime. I don't want to know if you've ever tried that. Crazy thing. Someone said that you could cure memory loss by eating chocolate-covered garlic cloves. It's disgusting. Don't go home and try these, please. How about this one? Anybody ever had a cold sore in your mouth? You had a cold sore? I read that you can heal, and this is, I really hope this doesn't work, but you can heal a cold sore by putting earwax on it. It's disgusting. But friend, I could probably talk you into doing so many things. And here's the idea that I'd like you to get today, and we'll get back into our passage. But you can be talked into just about anything. Teens will try so many things. But you know, I found some statistics that are pretty frustrating, pretty disheartening for us as Christians. 70% of Christian school graduates never return to church after graduating. 70%. The average Christian lasts fewer than 7 years in church. 20% of teens in a youth group will stay in church after they graduate. Count 10 people in your youth group? 2. That's what statistics say. 6 out of 10 people in their 20s were involved in a church during their teen years, but they failed to translate that into active spirituality during adulthood. Here's what I'm trying to get at, teens, today, is that if there is one time in your life, if there's one time to try something new, it'll probably be now. Now, I'm not that old, I'm 28, but I've found that the older I get, the less I do things for the first time. The less I try new things. If I go to a restaurant, I'll get the same thing, or like to go and do the same things. But you're at the age now where you like to try things, and I'd like to just try to get you to try something today. If we're at Mark chapter 6, we read was an interesting passage. Jesus came planning, hoping to do miracles, hoping to do great things. And it said in verse 5 that he could there do no mighty work, say that he's laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So God was trying to do something. He had great things in store that he was ready to do. He had miracles that he was going to perform. People he was going to heal. So many things that he planned on doing. And he could not because they didn't believe. And I would like to just try to get you, just try to beg you teens today to try God and give him a chance to be God. Give him a chance to do the things that he wants to do. See, unfortunately, we'll try all kinds of things. It's so easy to get teens, just a little bit of peer pressure, and we can talk you into doing something. We can talk you into drinking, into doing drugs, into losing your virginity, whatever it might be. It doesn't take a whole lot of pushing, but week after week after week, someone stands behind a pulpit and pleads with you and begs you and desires you and just tries so hard to try to get you to make decisions and live for God and read your Bible and pray and tell other people about God, but you won't do it. You'll try all these other things, but you don't give God a chance. And my desire, my plea for you, your pastor's plea for you, is give God a chance. Try him out. Let him prove himself to you. Let him be real in your life. Let him do great things. Let him show you how much he loves you. Give him a chance. Give God a chance. Jesus wanted to do miracles. He wanted to perform them, but he could not because of their unbelief. What does God want to do in your life that he can't do because you don't believe? That you won't let him? He wants to bless you. He wants to give you so many great things, but you will not let him. So my plea for you this morning is just give God a chance. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. First of all, we're in the book of Mark. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 17. Bible says, he was gone forth into the way. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. And look at verse 22. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. First of all, teens, would you give God a chance to save you from hell? Give God a chance to save you from hell. The rich young ruler had the opportunity. He had every chance to get saved, but he didn't give God the opportunity. Come here for a second. What's your name?
Austin.
Austin, come here, Austin. How you doing? How old are you?
16.
I'm going to give you some Skittles. Do you like Skittles?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give these to you. These are for you. They're original Skittles, 2.1 ounces. Pretty good. Five flavors. I'm going to give these to you. What has to happen for them to become yours? Here you go. Here you go. What do you have to do?
Take them.
You have to take them. So if I'm giving this to you, and I'm standing here holding these, and whatever, what's your favorite thing to eat?
I don't know. Anything.
You don't know? Okay. Anyway, if I were to give you something you love, it's not yours until you
take it.
Until you take it. God wants you to be saved, teens. Every single one of you, he wants you to be saved. He gives you salvation. He has given you the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. Amen. He's given you the opportunity to avoid hell, but you have to let him do that. You have to accept the gift. Now, I'm not preaching work salvation that you have to work to receive it. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not about us and what we do. It's all about him. But he wants to give you the opportunity to be saved. To avoid destruction, to avoid hell. And teens, there's no doubt in my mind, the number of teens in this room, that at least one of you, have never given God the chance to save you. Never given them a chance. He's here, he's pleading, he's desiring to save you, but you won't give him the opportunity. What are some things that can keep us from letting God save us? It could be our pride. We'll have an invitation in a few minutes. Some of you, you know God's working on your heart. You know you need to get right. And you will not do anything about it because you're too prideful.
Right.
You're too worried about what that girl thinks about you.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Uh-oh. You're too worried about what your friends might say. And maybe you're going to keep God from saving you because of your pride. Maybe it's a possession. Just like this man, it was all of the things that he had. He would never sell all of those. And someday the rich young ruler is going to be in hell. But he's there now. Because he wasn't able to get rid of something. Maybe it's something in your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your Xbox. Maybe it's your cell phone. Maybe it's your iPod. I don't know. But something you need to get rid of your life and give God a chance. Maybe it's a pleasure. Something you enjoy doing. You're not willing to give up. Or maybe it's another person. Will you give God a chance to save you? Secondly, give God a chance to save you from hell. But secondly, will you give God a chance to spare you from getting hurt? Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh in a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. The Bible preaches about putting each of us in a hedge. God has put you in a hedge of protection. Has anyone ever heard that phrase, pray the Lord to put a hedge of protection around them? Two people? Must be in New England. Okay, all right, a few more. I always literally imagine, like, you know, bushes, like these little bush around them. And I'm thinking, I'd rather have like a wall, you know, put like a force field around him, not a little hedge. But the idea is that God has kept you in a place where he's protected you. Teens, God doesn't want you to have certain things happen to you. But unfortunately, we give ourselves, we bring it on ourselves because we don't give God a chance to spare us from getting hurt. Well, what are some examples, Brother Mill? I don't know what you're talking about. How about saving yourself the trouble of having to deal with maybe getting an abortion or raising a child as a teenager? Do you realize you'll never have that problem? You'll never have that problem if you don't fool around with the wrong person, if you just wait until you get married, do things God's way. Hey, you won't have to worry about it. You'll never have to think, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get kicked out of youth group. I might have to leave my house, I might have to, you know, think about all these things that happen once you have a child. You can spare yourself that hurt by just doing the right thing. Doing the right thing and not breaking that hedge, staying within the hedge that God has given you. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Every single one of you, you come from good churches, good youth groups, good youth pastors that love you, that no doubt every week give you counsel. Every week they preach certain things. And some of you, you will not listen. Right now, and there's no doubt, I can see in your eyes, some of you right now, you are completely checked out. You're halfway between here and Neptune, man. You are gone. You're here, but you're not here. And you're not giving God a chance to spare you from hurt. Do you realize God doesn't want you to have that heartache? God doesn't want you to have to deal with so many problems that people bring on themselves. And you can let God spare you from those things. Let me tell you a story about a man named Matthew Mayer. He was born and raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian school up until 8th grade. He was a president of his local Bible club at his high school. He graduated with a 3.97 GPA. Very skillful at soccer, he had a full scholarship to Temple University. In 2007, he was drafted in the first round by the New Jersey Ironmen of the Major Indoor Soccer League. His entire life was marked by good decisions and making thoughtful steps towards each of his many goals. On Friday, March 1st, 2009, he tore his ACL in a game against the Philadelphia Kicks. In frustration, he started bar hopping. In the early hours of the night, or the early hours of the morning, under the influence of alcohol, he had a head-on collision and killed a man named Mr. Hort Kapp. It was on the Atlantic Expressway, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. Matthew was later convicted for aggravated manslaughter and sentenced to prison. A man that did his whole life doing right, living for God, got married, involved in church. And he made a decision, and now he's in prison, in jail, for manslaughter. And someday, hopefully, he'll be let out of jail. But you know what? He has to live his entire life knowing that he killed an innocent person. Well, do you realize he got himself into that situation? If he hadn't been drinking and driving, well, let's take it a step further. If he hadn't been drinking, then he wouldn't have gotten to a place where he would have done something like that. You can spare yourself a whole lot of hurt, teens, if you'll just do what's right now. You can spare yourself a whole lot of hurt if you just listen to what's being preached at you, if you listen to what the Bible tells you, if you listen to the things that in your heart you know what's right. You do. You know what's right and what's wrong. You don't need to hear it preached too many times, 30 times, 100 times, to know that it's wrong to do certain things, certain music you shouldn't listen to, certain friends you shouldn't be hanging around, certain places you shouldn't be going. You know better. But some of you, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. God wants to spare you from hurt. Give God a chance to save you. You've got a chance to spare you from hurt. Number three, give God a chance. In Revelation chapter 3, the Bible talks about Jesus standing at the door of our lives, knocking. Standing at the door, just knocking. And you know what you have to do? You have to open the door. Number three, give God a chance to speak to your heart. God wants to speak to you. Do you realize that? I'm serious. Do you realize that, teens? Every single one of you, that God wants to speak to you? I'm not talking about just the person that's not saved. You!
But I'm good, Brother Miller. I read my Bible today. And
no, God wants to speak to you. He wants to give you something, but we don't give Him the chance. Oftentimes, God's trying to get a hold of your heart. He's standing at the door knocking. He's knocking, but we don't hear Him because our iPod's up too loud. Yep. Amen. We don't hear Him because our TV's been playing for 30 hours straight. Or because of Facebook, or Twitter, or Instagram, or texting, whatever it is, that God wants to speak to you. I promise you, He wants to speak to you. He wants to show His will to you and reveal Himself to you, but many of you will not let Him. Some of you right now, God's trying to speak to you. He's trying to tell you something. I don't know what it is, but you won't let Him. And you won't listen. And just give Him a chance. Would you give God a chance to speak to you? Speak to your heart. Next, give God a chance to let you serve Him. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me, please, quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Read that one more time, 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. God wants you to serve Him. The Bible talks about vessels. This is just an ordinary bowl. But the Bible says that there are vessels some to honor, some to dishonor. If you read further in the New Testament, you'll find out that God refers to us as vessels. If you're saved, you're a vessel. You're like this wonderful bowl. Now, I know that this bowl isn't very special. This bowl has nothing in it. It's kind of ugly. It's a normal bowl. But do you realize that through this bowl, you could eat some amazing ice cream? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You could have some Lucky Charms. You could have some chips. You could put whatever. And do you realize this bowl is nothing but a vessel to accomplish something much greater? It's just a vessel. But do you realize there's some properties about this bowl that will keep it from being used? If I open my shelf and I see this bowl and it's dirty, what am I going to do? Get rid of it. Probably put it in the washing machine. Maybe I'll wash it. I don't know if I'm in a good mood. But if it's dirty, it can't be used. Do you get that, teens? If it's dirty, it can't be used? Would you put some ice cream in here if there was leftover barbecue sauce? Don't say yes. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to use it because it's dirty. And some of you, God wants to use. We need to let God use us. And God wants to use you, but you won't let Him because you're dirty. Because there's sin in your life that is prohibiting Him from doing that. Are you with me, teens? There's sin in your life that's prohibiting God from using you. You're dirty. Or the next property about the bowl that will keep it from being used is if it's not on the shelf. If I open the door and the bowl isn't there, guess what? I can't use it. And if you are not in the middle of God's will, right where you're supposed to be, can't use you. I could give you so many examples of that, but you have to be clean. You have to be on the shelf. And you know, the other thing that will keep this bowl from being used is if it's full of other stuff. If I go to put something in this and it already is full of something else, I can't use it. Maybe you're here today and God wants to use you. You felt God calling you maybe to preach someday. Maybe you feel like God's telling you you should be a youth pastor, a missionary, or evangelist. But you've got your mind made up. You know what you're planning on doing already, and you are telling God, I'm sorry, I'm already full. You can't use me. Teens, give God a chance. Will you just give God a chance to let Him use you? My preacher said something a few months ago that really, it stuck with me ever since. He said that, I don't pray and ask God to use me. He said, I pray and ask God to make me more usable. Because God wants to use you. But it's up to, how much are we going to let Him? Are we full of our own stuff? Are we so busy that God can't do what He wants to do instead? So give God a chance to let you serve Him. And then lastly, I won't have you turn there, but give God a chance to send you blessings from heaven. God wants to bless you. Teens, God wants to bless you. I could tell you story after story. We could read in the Bible about Jacob and Esau. Y'all know the story of Jacob and Esau?
Yes.
Story of Jacob and Esau, where Jacob stole his brother's birthright. For, as Hebrews says, a morsel of meat. And he lost out on the blessing. Esau missed out on the blessing because he gave it up. And some of you, look up here. Everyone look up here, please. Some of you are going to miss out on the blessing because of some stupid thing that you're doing now. You're not going to be able to meet the girl of your dreams, boys. Because you're fooling around with someone else you shouldn't be fooling around with anyway. I've seen it. I've had it happen to my teenagers. Girls, same with you. And you're going to miss out on the blessing. God has the perfect person for you. I didn't get to introduce her. My beautiful wife Rachel's in the back, and my two boys are in the nursery. God has blessed me so much. And friend, I would have lost all of that if I would have messed around with the wrong person at the wrong time. Instead of waiting for God to bring them to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you an awesome life. And I don't know your background. I don't know how many times you've messed up. But would you just give God a chance to bless you? Would you just give Him a chance to show Himself real in your life and to show you how good He is? I could tell you blessing after blessing after blessing in my life. And it's just because I've given myself to God and said, I'm willing. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. And He's blessed me. We're living in a house. We're only paying utilities right now each month, Brother Pachonico. Not paying anything else because the Lord has opened that opportunity. God has given us a vehicle that we didn't have to pay for. And it's not all about stuff, but God's blessed me. And I'm sure that you and your pastors could tell you of ways that God's blessed you. But I had to take some step of faith to get to that point. I'm working at, I believe, the greatest church in America. I absolutely love my church, love my preacher, love my teens. And you know what? I wouldn't have found it if I didn't go to Bible college. Go to Bible college and found where God wanted me to go. God wanted to bless me, and God wants to bless you. We need to give Him the opportunity. Would you give Him the opportunity? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you in here have tried everything, and you've never given God a chance. I'm not talking about just showing up to church, but getting in this thing, getting faithful. Not just showing at church once, but being there on a regular basis. Actually getting in your Bible, telling people about God, and just giving Him a chance. Giving Him a chance to be God. And the Bible says at the end of that passage we read at the beginning of Mark 6, that He marveled at their unbelief. God Himself couldn't believe it. Hey, is God marveling at your unbelief today? I can't believe her. I've tried to give her so much. I'm trying to save her. I'm trying to bless her. I'm trying to give her so much. She still won't believe. She still won't act on it. I'm trying to give that boy everything he wants, but he won't let me. Would you give God a chance today?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is the important part, guys, right here. Okay? Some of you already know what you need to come down for, so you just get up and come down now. It's fine. But the rest of us, can we stand to our feet? Okay? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Piano's going to play whatever he wants. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. If you need to come forward, talk to God, that's fine. But listen, those of you who are standing right there, listen, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to listen. Don't just turn me off right now. Listen. How many of you in your life say, you know what, Pastor Donald, I have not been giving God a chance. Raise your hand up. I have not been giving God a chance. Raise it up so I can see it. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. It's all right. See those hands. Put them down. Here's a question, okay? I want everyone listening. He said one of his first points was giving God a chance to save you. I have no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind that there is someone in here today, probably more than one, that if you died today, you don't know where you'd go.